3, 2, 1.
Here we go. Welcome to the No Normal Show, brought to you by BPD. This is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust and celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the bold, while delivering the future to healthcare's leading brands. I'm Stephanie Weirbill, EVP of Engagement here at BPD. And today I'm joined by my friends, Desiree Duncan, VP of Health, Equity, and Inclusion, and Chris Bevelo, Chief Transformation Officer. Hey, y'all.
Yo.
Hi.
Hi. Happy Friday again. We've made it.
Friday's Friday. Best. They're the best. Like, I'm so glad that we're doing these on Friday now.
Yeah, it's a great end to our week. We get to hang out, talk, all the things, and then we go into the weekend. So I love it.
This will be a fun one, too. No, like, terrible doomsday economic stuff. None of that. Like, we're going to talk about some fun. We have a couple of good headlines, but it'll be a fun one. It's totally a Friday show.
It is. And I think, Chris, you have a really busy week next week, right? So I hope you're resting up this weekend. But tell us a little bit before we get into our show about what's happening next week.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff going on. I am going to be at the Becker's Healthcare 15th annual meeting. So start the week in Chicago. We'll be speaking on a panel with Andy Chang from UChicago Medicine, Sharon Lyon Clary from our friends at Advent Health, and Ryan Younger at Virtual Health. I know all three of them, so that'll be great. We're going to talk about strategic growth from a marketing perspective. Then our buddies, Ryan Kolyani and Sasha Bogosian, will be hosting a happy hour later that day. So if you're at Becker's, join us there. And then it's off to Orlando for what I like to call the HIMSS conference. Not the hymns, HIMSS. And I had somebody yesterday ask me, why isn't it called HUMPS? And I think the answer is self-evident. So the HIMSS conference, which is a fantastic conference if you've never been, it's for health system marketers. We got all kinds of stuff going on there. We have a pre-conference workshop on April 30th on data-driven marketing. That's with our own Josh Donahue and Napoli Block, along with Anthony Cadu from Advent Health. So that's going to be phenomenal. They're going to get down into the weeds on data-driven marketing. Then I am going to host another panel with three other smart people, Tanya Andriadis from Penn Medicine, David Feinberg from Mount Sinai, and Paul Madsen from Cleveland Clinic, all phenomenal CMOs, all longtime folks that I've known. And we're going to talk about defending marketing ROI. We're also going to be all over that conference, meeting people, golfing. It's just going to be all kinds of stuff. And then I'm back for a day off on Friday because we have a graduation in Milwaukee. So I'll just throw that in there too. So three cities in 5 days.
Wow.
It's going to be amazing.
That is. I'm already having FOMO listening to you talk about it all. That's a star-studded lineup. And also, I will never be able to unhear HUMPS. So thank you for that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to everybody. Judy Nyman, who runs the Healthcare Marketing Physician Summit, is what HIMSS stands for. I apologize for calling it HUMPS, but it wasn't me. People were saying.
People are saying it. Everyone.
People were saying it. People said it.
All right. Thank you. That's a preamble to what's going on next week. And I know folks can watch BPD's social channels and the newsletter and all those kind of stuff to see what's going on at those conferences. And please join us if you're there. So with that, we will get into our show for the day. We have a couple headlines we're going to hit. Specifically, Meta is facing some new challenges, so we'll talk about that. We have a fun headline around Gatorade and a new campaign that they've put out that I think is particularly inspiring and culturally relevant. And then our main topic today is a really fun one around digital minimalism, which is a trend or a bubbling up trend that we've caught where especially Gen Z is turning off the digital vibes and returning to a bit of a nostalgic era. So we will debate that and pull that apart and talk about implications for marketing.
I think to honor Gen Z and their lingo, like skibbity toilet, we should start calling that Digmin.
Digmin.
We're trying to minimize digital. Let's minimize, we'll just call it Digmin. Let's see if we can start that trend right here, because I don't think anybody else is calling it that. See if we can spread that around. Digmin.
Okay. I already hate it. I'll try.
Excellent start.
So before we get into our headlines, Des, speaking of nostalgia, as we were chatting about digital minimalism, you noticed another kind of trend that you've seen out there. Tell us about that before we get into our more serious headlines.
as you get older, the cycles, you start to notice them, right? And so the first thing, of course, is always fashion and like the style and music and what have you. But like, I find myself just getting more and more like grumpy. But like the idea that like with younger generations, like you always think you invented or discovered something, right? Mostly because it's new to you. But then the older folks in your world are always like eye roll. Like we've been doing that, or that's been around for forever, just because don't Columbus this, I think. But then I think back on myself and I'm like, wow, cringe. I did this. Like I'm very much cringing at my younger self, because I'm like, we all do this. And so it just got me thinking about just that kind, that concept, that idea, especially knowing that we're getting into the like the digital minimalism of the headlines around, like, oh, I'm going to get an MP3 player. I'm like, what? Like, why? First of all, we barely use those.
Right.
They have a short window at the time. But okay, go off, King.
Oh, there's so many places to go with this. I don't even know. Like, all I'll say is that, well, I've got some great examples to throw at you guys, but I know that I have been through this in healthcare marketing, where early in my career, I was like, oh my gosh, look at this place. I'm going to call it America. Nobody's ever been here before, to use your reference, Des. And I would have some senior people that have been around the block go, Chris, like, that's, we've been talking about that for a while. I'm like, oh, okay, gotcha. But I like it more for the music and the fashion, Stephanie. That's more fun to talk about.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And I, as Des, you were talking about this, it made me realize I think I am that girl still, especially around music, especially TikTok music trends. I hear a TikTok music trend and I'm like, oh, what a great song. And then my partner, who is very into music, is like, Stephanie, let me tell you the history of that song. And then he gives me a 45-minute lecture and I'm like, oh. So I am that girl who now knows too much.
What are we going to, we have to label this. Des, you said you were grumpy about it. It sounds like Stephanie, your partner, is, I don't know if he's grumpy about it, but he's a 45-minute lecturer, clearly shows a state of mind about the situation. What do we call that? Just like, we got to give it a name. We'll come up with a name in this segment. Before we end the podcast, we will name the feeling of, really, it can't be get off my lawn. Maybe it's get off my vinyl.
There you go.
Get off my fashion trend. That is, none of that's great. That's terrible.
I like, we'll get off my vinyl.
Men. Let's call it Digman. No, I have an example. We also, when we were prepping for this podcast, we were talking about, so what are some things that we think might come back, or people are like, look what I invented. And so I had to think back to when I was a youth, and I have two examples, but one of them, now that we talk about this, is actually clearly a repeat of something that happened before. I never thought about it that way. So when I was like in college, the guys would roll up their jeans. And so they wouldn't make like big cuffs, like two or three. It was, you rolled them really tight so that they like stuck to your leg. And you, like how you fold a towel when you get out of the shower so it stays. You did that to the bottom of your jeans. And so they would be like 3 or 4 inches up off of your ankle. That was a thing. Everybody did it. And now that we're talking about it, I realize that was a 1950s thing.
Greece. I'm thinking of the movie Greece. In Greece, the boy band, that's not what they were, but No, the group of guys in Greece.
The Greasers, yeah.
No, they're the Thunderbirds, for crying out loud.
The Thunderbirds, there you go.
If you guys can't get your Grease stuff down.
See, here's the lecture. Okay, bring it on.
45 minutes.
Tell me. This is what happened.
So that's my example of, we'll wait to see when that comes back around and people making it look like it's this cool new fashion thing. They'd be like, 1989 called and they want your jean roll back.
Okay, we'll watch out for it. Everybody look out for the cuff rolls. Okay, so why don't we get into some of our headlines here? A little less fun than the fashion trends, but two headlines coming at you. So the first is Meta. We've been talking about Meta recently. So a sort of new challenge, old challenge that's new again, is Meta is facing a trial where they've been accused of a buy or bury strategy. So meaning they've been acquiring all these apps, think Instagram, think WhatsApp, the whole family of Meta apps. And why have they been acquiring them? Is it to maybe knock out the competition? Is it to perhaps create their own monopoly? Maybe. So big tech is really on the stand again here, and we're watching to see what happens, but it would really be a big hit to their business. Chris, I know you're a big non-Meta follower, I should say. What are your thoughts around this headline?
Anti-Zuck. I'm going to channel my best Scott Galloway here and try to, there's so many things to build in here. Interestingly, this is an ongoing antitrust theme that's carried over from prior administration that doesn't seem to be abating. So that's curious, for one. Two, because Google's gone through this and actually they're in the remedy phase of their antitrust situation, Meta has basically followed the playbook of Microsoft, which is basically, we're going to win by buying up our competition. And they did that. They faced their own antitrust around browsers when they killed Netscape. Again, dating myself, wearing overalls and cuff jeans on Netscape in 1995. So it's the same thing. And yeah, the antitrust here is that you're crushing the competition by buying them up. Snapchat has been battling them forever. And basically it's you steal from them as well, which Microsoft did, stealing most notoriously from Apple's and the UI, which actually was borrowed from IBM. So again, there's your Scott Galloway breakdown of the history of antitrust in tech. I'm thrilled, because what I would love is for this to force the spinoff of Instagram and WhatsApp. Because I've been off, I'm off all Meta because I hate what they do, what they stand for. I hate Mark Zuckerberg. I hate them all. They spun off Instagram. That would be great. Then I can get back on Instagram, which I think is a great app.
Very.
There you go. That's my take.
That's funny. So you can't be on Instagram until they lose this.
No, I'm not giving them any of my data. They can go straight to, you know where, Mark Zuckerberg. He's just like terrible. Soapbox. He's not a good human. I don't like him. I'm saying it. I'm putting it there. I'm probably the first. I'm sure I'm the first person to our last topic who feels that way. Nobody else has ever felt that way.
That's right. That's right. New news. Okay. Right. We'll be watching this because I guess I'll play the other side of it. From an advertiser standpoint, it would be a struggle if that data got pulled apart, because there are major benefits for advertisers, whether we like it or not. The advertising targeting depth is really deep, and it's partially because all of these apps are together in one. So there's my slight difference of opinion.
The hypocrisy of my life is not lost on me, that I hate the use of data by Meta, but also work for a company that obviously helps brands benefit from that very thing. Yeah. So the cognitive dissonance sometimes splits my brain in two.
I think all marketing professionals feel that in one way or another. So it's very real. But we're in healthcare, so we're doing only good things, right?
Yes.
So let's move on to our next headline, which is a fun one. So we caught this new campaign, new platform from Gatorade, which has brought Kendrick Lamar into the fold. The campaign is called Lose More, Win More. And there's a spot with Kendrick Lamar and his music, his song Peekaboo. But what's, I think, really cool about it is the idea is that the more you lose, the more you win. So it ties back to sweat, right? The more you sweat and drink Gatorade to replenish you, the more you win. But it's a lot deeper than that. Des, I know you dug into this. What were some of your takeaways? What inspired you about this?
Yeah, another example of a brand that's linking themselves to what's going on in the culture. Kendrick Lamar has been dominating the culture, it feels like, for, I don't know, a year and a half, almost 2 years now. He's been this incredible artist all this time, but it took a next level with the Drake and Kendrick beef, which, say what you will or what side you sit on for that conversation, but you can't deny the fact that this dude is the culture. And if you want your brand to stand out, you need to tap into that. But what also is in culture, and I've been like, any opportunity I get to try to get people like, hey, you need to be showing up in the WNBA. That's where it's at. The women's basketball has been blowing up for the last couple of years now. So it was really cool to see that athletes like Caitlin Clark, Aja Wilson, what have you, were a part of the spot and this ongoing campaign. So I'm very excited to see these women get their shine, and can't wait to see what else is next for folks.
Awesome. It is really exciting. And I agree with you. I think the WNBA is such an exciting opportunity because, to your point, it's the place to be. It's the place to be right now. Okay. So let's move on to our main topic. Like we said, we gave it a moosh boosh to this earlier. The Digimon topic.
Wait, back
moosh,
up.
A moosh boosh.
So you just did the Digimon, but say it again?
A moosh boosh? Like what's a little that? Hors d'oeuvre, like a little pre-teaser, pre-appetizer.
A moosh boosh.
Is it French? Are we?
I think so.
Des, have you heard of this? You know what a moose boosh is?
I feel like I've heard someone say it, but I just scrolled past it because I didn't know what they were saying or what it meant. So would love. Yeah.
It's a, or is it a direct synonym for an hors d'oeuvre or is it some kind of?
I think so, but it's making me question my whole life. I think it's an hors d'oeuvre. I'm questioning everything at this moment.
A moose boosh. Am I saying it right?
Yes.
A small, often complimentary, bite-sized dish served before a meal or between courses. Wow.
Yeah. AKA an hors d'oeuvre. Why do we need two French names for the same thing?
Because.
Language continues to change. You know this, Chris. We're always flipping the language. So that's
so mouche bouche is new? All right.
No,
we're going to have to come back to this.
It's not new. It's not new. But you can think it's new. Back to you.
I know, right? I'm going to go on Instagram and I'm going to say, I love that. I called it the Instagram. I'm going to go on the Instagram. I'm going to say, oh, look at this word I described. I just discovered. Mouche bouche.
Definitely not new.
All right.
Okay. Okay. So from that to Digimon. So let me define this trend. So this is the return of dumb things. So we mean, instead of smart things, smartphones, smart watches, smart everything, that Gen Z especially, but others, are ditching their smartphones, ditching their smart watches, all of that for, hey, MP3 players are back. Digital cameras are back. Vinyl records have been back for a while. We're going to get into why. What's going on here? Is this a trend? Is this just a blip on the radar? What does this mean? What are all the layers under it? Is this an aesthetic or is it really a push against what's going on in the quick moving tech world? So I'll just leave it right there. We can link. There's an article. There's several articles that we found actually around this trend. We can link those in the show notes for you to dig in more. But Chris, Des, discuss.
I think it's both.
Before we dive into it, I think we should all share if we can do this on the podcast without taking forever and hopefully we won't. But the reason why this might be happening is this guy, our addiction to this guy, which if you have an iPhone, will tell you how bad your addiction is. So when you go to screen time in your settings, you can see what your average screen time is. Mine's not bad this week. It's 5 hours and 48 minutes a day, which is down 21% from last week. Boy, we picked the right day to look at this because normally, last week it was like 9 hours or something. I don't know.
What? I congratulated you way too early. If 9 hours, 5 hours, that's...
7 is normal for me. I'll just say that. So 5 is look at me go. It's because I was traveling, I'm going to assume. Des, what's the matter? You've got a look on your face like you're either... What are you...
I'm looking at my numbers and they're a hot mess. Nine hours this week was the average. Oh. 8 last week, 7. I'm noticing an uptick in trend. I'm shutting this thing off.
How are you doing, Steph?
I'm super proud of myself right now. I've been working on this for over a year. So my goal has been to come down from 4 or 5 down to 1.5. I haven't quite made it there, but I'm at 2:45, 2 hours and 45 minutes this week. There, you can see it. It's real. And last week I was at 3 hours and 16 minutes and I've been tracking around 3 hours. So,
okay. So we'll have to come back to that because that's astounding. I'll tell you what's worse and we don't have to keep going on this is when you look at how that time is used, that's where Des, I'm the one who's going to be like, oh no, because all I have to do is tell you what my number, you can guess what my number one thing is. Like it shows you all the different ways you use your phone. Number one,
TikTok.
More than double anything else is TikTok. Yeah, exactly. It's terrible. I just said that out loud in public to the entire world because we have thousands of listeners.
So why don't you guess what my number one thing is?
Instagram.
The robots.
ChatGPT. Yes.
Oh,
Dave.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
me and the robots, like that is now my best friend. Sage and I tell her what I eat all day long. I tell her what's on my mind. Yeah.
Did her name change?
No, Sage is my personal robot. Avery is my professional robot.
See,
it's also sad that in my top 6 is Fly Delta. That's very sad. Des, where are you at?
Oh, I'm the reason for the Meta like shakeup. They're definitely getting all my data. I'm going to have to stop that. So yeah, mine is definitely the Instagram. Ooh, all right. This was a much needed exercise in my
So
own,
we all like. Need the we all need the Digimon.
Yes.
We need a smidge of Digimon or moosh boosh. Is that what it was?
Yes. Okay. We've shared our inner workings now. So why do you all think, what is going on with this trend? First of all, What are the reasons behind it? Any research, any stats, or any anecdotes that you want to share around why are the kids doing this?
Essentially, from that deep dive, it looked like folks were just over the fact that they're spending so many hours. I think one person had noted that his screen time had reached 10 hours, which, oh God, I'm not far from, but just wanting to get their lives back. I don't have the actual numbers here right now, but it looks like folks are switching to Nokia phones, the old school, the flip phone, where you can only text and call and maybe play a game of Snake, or even trying to find ones that give you the ability to just have navigation. But essentially, it's all of the dings. Like, you go there for this one thing, but then you're tempted to go tap on the next app because it's right there, or you're getting notified for something and it takes you off. I can't tell you how many times I go to even just in the house, go somewhere and I get a ding, and then like I forgot why I'm in that room. Yeah, it's about getting your life back is what it seems like. And young folks are nostalgic for something that they didn't actually experience. But yeah.
No, that's a good way to put it. Like they've never known a life without this stuff. Whereas somebody of my age has definitely, and look, this isn't generational, right? The addiction is real for almost all generations. So there's nothing worse than saying kids today on their phones. And I'm like, hello, look around, Gen X and boomers also. So yeah, I think it's that too. I think we just learn more and more. Again, my dislike for all things Zuck is not, it's a little bit about him personally, but it's more about what that company has done. And we learn more and more about what they've done and what they've ignored and the harm they've caused, for example, for a generation of young women, for this country, and what they did in a couple elections. So we learn more and more about the harm these things cause. And we're always reminded that the people at Meta and the people who make iPhones, they don't allow their kids to have smartphones. It just tells you, and they don't want them on social media. So the people who know, and the rest of us, I think, are finding out. And that, I think, is a large part of it.
In a way, it feels like it's going the way of like cigarettes, where we realize so much more of the health effects of it. And you're like, okay, I'm making this decision for myself to not subscribe.
Yeah, I think there's also just a tendency to buck against the norm when you're in your teens and 20s. And it's like looking around and saying, okay, what is the status quo? And how can I do what's opposite of that? And so shout out to our producer, Mari, who is sharing to us about the aesthetic of this and even just the headphones. I've got AirPods in. Chris, you have wired headphones, so you're on trend. But the aesthetic of even just something as simple as wired headphones, which is a little bit of a buck against the norm. It's vintage, it's a throwback, same with a record player, vinyl, or maybe even a dumb phone, perhaps. It's just, it's new, it's novel to them. So I think it'll just be interesting to see. I don't know if you all have votes, Des and Chris, is this a blip on the radar? Do you think this is going to be a growing trend?
My thoughts are, first of all, we're not just talking about technology and media that is really optional for folks. It is addictive. Like, these things are designed, both social media and smartphones, to tap into the part of your brain that causes addiction. And I feel like I'm addicted. Like, I honestly think that, because it's like I can make moves like Stephanie wants to make or has made, and I can't stick to it. It's not because I know it's bad for me, but I can't break out of it. So it's not simple to move away from this. I do think like the trend is real, but I feel like it is more of a trend. I don't want to say a fad. It's a fad or a trend. I don't think we're going to universally move away from digital. Hopefully what will happen is there will be some things in the technology and in media that will help us lessen that. But again, where's that coming from? It's not coming from Meta. It's not coming from Apple. They're incented to do that. I think there will always be a population of people, particularly as we move into the eye of it all, that are going to buck the technology, but I don't think it's going to be universal, which is maybe unfortunate. I don't know. That's my take, Des.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. I guess I want to believe that this is one of those beginner flags of something bigger to come. Yeah, to your point, yeah, we're way too dependent on this device to just get through our normal days. I was actually just talking about this with a partner of, okay, let's say that we are flying out of the country and we rely so heavily on this device, whether we're checking in from our all of your Delta, Chris, to how we're going to get a car to where we're going, the Uber or what have you. What does life look like if we put this thing down? But I think overarching, people are looking for something else. I think, of course, the pandemic was a huge trigger for a catalyst for a lot of things that have shifted. And I think we're seeing this kind of outcome, especially after all of that time alone. And we've come out deeply weird. There's a shift to this more real life experience. You're laughing. Because I'm also thinking about the dating apps, right? This is a part of that where people are actually wanting to meet more of each other in real life. But spoiler alert, we don't know how to do that anymore. We don't know how to actually engage with one another because we're so used to doing it through these little devices. So whether it's chatting with your friend or sending memes back and forth through Instagram, or it's swiping left or right, but how do you actually engage with a person in the real life? And I feel like that might be an interesting business model to take on to help people do that. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah. I was just thinking, Des, as you're talking through that, I actually know of three different health systems who in totally different ways have either strategies in place or activations in place to build community. So, of course, being in real life, community, socializing, social, and all that comes with it in real life, socializing is so good for your health. And I think it was interesting in thinking about this trend. There are many brands who have taken this trend into the real world, whether that looks like, hey, for example, people actually do still shop at malls. Surprise, surprise. We thought malls were dead. They are not dead. Some maybe died along the way in rural areas, but people still get together. And so brand activations, I think about South by Southwest. I think about pop-ups, events, all of that. It's bigger than ever at this moment in time, I think, because of what you're sharing, Des.
I'm just going to say that the mall by me is dead. It's still open. But there's an old Sears in there. There's like an old pet store there. It's all closed storefronts except for a Cinnabon and then like a bar that's on the outside of it and a Dick's Sporting Good. Like Macy's. Have you been to Macy's recently? It looks like a clothing store that had a tornado 5 years ago and they never cleaned it up. Like it is poor Macy's. Yeah. Yeah. Poor Macy's. Then we go back to Macy's. Is that what we're going to go back to? I don't know.
Random. Dillard's is still popping though. They still have those old Dillard's. That's where it's at. They still have that old bag. Their branding has not changed whatsoever, but like chock full of like the goodies. But like Macy's, I don't know what's happening.
Dillard's is like my favorite place in the world. I will always go there. But I think it depends on the area, right? I'm speaking for Nashville or larger cities. Like just the malls they are hopping. But anyway, I think there's a lot of ways for brands to approach this. One interesting example that I saw was Heineken, who actually created their own dumb phone last year. So they produced a Heineken branded flip phone. It was a partnership that they did. And the whole message was that our smartphones are keeping us from going out and socializing and dating, as you say, Des, and also drinking. And so this was their stunt to get people back out there. I don't think it was super successful, but just an interesting stunt.
Yeah, I would say this time it gives opportunity for a number of stunts taken into the nostalgia, but also like, how are we thinking about the long-term effects of this? Or like, where are the people? Where will they see our brand? Where can we go to actually talk to them? Kind of like what you were saying about they're going back to stores, they don't want to just do the QR codes or they don't want to look at Nike. They went all in on online shopping. And what did that do? And that's because sneakerheads in the Nike game, it's all about community and the relationship and like that, the vibe and being there. So like you have to have that place, that brick and mortar for them to go and convene. Yeah, I guess it is like, where is the media going to head in this? Is it going to be more out of home going where people are?
What do you think? No. Oh, billboards are back. I think Nike is a great example of how it can work, but I think this is going to pose really big challenges for a lot of brands because they have moved to a place where the experiences that they're creating to connect with their audiences are digital. We talked about Duolingo, right? We'll bring that back up again. The owl died, whatever. How does that work in real life? Who's going to a Duolingo store? There's no such thing. Who's going to a Duolingo funeral? Like a real funeral for the owl? Maybe if they like sponsored something at a zoo. It's just for so many brands that don't have the power of community like Nike, this is going to be a real challenge.
Yeah, it makes me think about Peloton, for example, my dear lovely Peloton brand, which took advantage of the pandemic where everybody was at home and boomed and now has struggled because guess what? People don't want to work out like that forever. Not everyone does. I do, but many people don't. Many people love the community of the gym. So, Chris, I think your point is really interesting, which is like, what is your brand experience? And that is probably the core question to this, because if your brand experience has leaned too far into the non-human experiences, then that's an issue. You need a blend of both. I don't think we're saying digital's dead. Like, that's not, don't. It's continuing to grow and tech is going to continue to grow, but you need a blend of the both. And if you neglect that human experience and you become like, was it Forward, the healthcare company that said, we're just going to create these tech-focused boxes out and about, and we don't need real-life physicians. It's going to be all AI, and that didn't work.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Some things are out ahead of their time, like cuff jeans.
There you go. Bringing it back. All right. So perhaps we'll wrap here, but I think we'll keep our eye on this trend of digmen, and we'll see what happens, and we'll keep watching any media implications as we go forward.
I want to update digmen. Because there's something far better. It's got to be Digimini. That's way better. That actually could catch on. Digimin sounds terrible, but Digimini?
Wow.
No?
Help.
No.
Yeah, you guys are a rough crowd.
Tough crowd, yeah.
Fine. She's noodling on that because they're trying to make fetch happen right now.
All right. We'll do.
We'll brainstorm on it. All right. So for everyone listening, thank you so much. And you can subscribe to our newsletter, the No Normal Rewind, to recap what you hear on the No Normal Show. And also, quick reminder, last week on our last episode, we talked about the future of the CMO report. That report is, you can still download it, get it, get your hands on it. Check out that episode if you didn't listen to it. But you can visit bpdhealthcare.com or shoot us a note at nonormal@bpdhealthcare to grab that report or ask questions or give us a new phrase for Digimini. That is welcome too. With that, don't be satisfied with the normal and push that no normal, and we'll talk to you all soon.
Three, two, one.